In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. The gospel we just heard is of the parable, it's called the parable of the wicked servant. He's wicked because he's forgiven a great deal by his master, his Lord, but then goes out and chokes his fellow servant for a small paltry sum that is owed him. And so his wickedness is about his own lack of forgiveness. Yes, it's about forgiveness again. It's about forgiveness once more. The servant who had been forgiven an enormous debt by his master refuses to forgive his fellow servant, a token amount by comparison. It's about forgiveness because we sin. We sin. And as long as we sin, forgiveness will be in play. If we'll stop sinning, then we can shut down the forgiveness discussion. We can close the confession corner. We won't need it. But as long as there's sin, there will be the question of forgiveness. And if we have any clue of self-knowledge, of honesty, of self-awareness of our soul, we know full well that we will go on needing forgiveness. We will continue to need forgiveness from above. We will continue to need God's great and abundant mercy. The church will continue to teach us to sing, "Lord, have mercy." And to say like the prodigal, "Father, I have sinned before heaven and before thy face. I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." So that's not in dispute. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am first. The cross was for my sins. Christ shed his blood on the cross for my forgiveness and for yours. Christ on the cross is the revelation of God's mercy towards us, his creatures, made in his image. Stop me when I begin to say something controversial. Controversial for Christians, that is, for Christian believers. "For whom much is given, much shall be required," Christ said. We have been given, brothers and sisters, we have been given the great mercy, as the hymns of the church speak of it constantly. So we could dare say, "For whom much is forgiven, much shall be required." This parable of the Lord in the 18th chapter of Matthew is prefaced by two verses which lead the Lord to tell the story. In verse 21, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee 7 times, but until 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Christ is saying that we believers, Christians, are called to forgive our brother, our sister, exponentially more times than we might imagine. And the parable explains that the unforgiving servant had been forgiven an enormous amount of debt, unpayable really, for an average person, even in a lifetime. But then the same guy could not forgive his fellow servant who owed him pennies by comparison. Christ is saying that's us. That's where we are. We are called to forgive because we have been forgiven far more than we can begin to imagine or calculate. As someone said, what if God forgave us the way we at times forgive? When we say, even in our hearts, "Well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. I'll forgive him, but I won't forget it. What if God said that to us? I'll forgive your sins, but I'll keep them in mind in case I need them to use against you. Or we say, well, I'll forgive, but I'll have nothing more to do with that person. What if God said that to us? I'll forgive you, but I'll have nothing more to do with you. What if God said, as we do, I'll forgive this time, but if it happens once more, that's the end of it. What if God said that to us? In other words, it's your last chance. Mess up once more, and that's it. Someone said, he who will not forgive another has broken the bridge over which he himself must pass. He who will not forgive another has broken the bridge over which he himself must pass. He's burned the very bridge he stands on. Our bridge to heaven is God's mercy and forgiveness. Our bridge to heaven is also our mercy and forgiveness. St. John Chrysostom said, when you are minded to be vengeful, consider that it's against yourself you are vengeful, not against another. You're hurting yourself. So that you are binding up your own sins against you, not your neighbors. When we desire to be vengeful, we take our sins and bundle them to ourselves and hold them dearly. And God can't take them away from us because he respects our freedom. Why do we refuse to forgive? Refusal to forgive makes us feel morally superior to the other person. We stand above them, look down on them, and say, see what they did? I would never do that. See what they did to me? Refusal to forgive makes us feel superior. We can play the victim. The victim, a very popular pastime in our day, to take victim status, to be the victim. A victim is not passive. A victim nowadays is someone aggressively grieving, someone who is angry. An angry victim, not passive. Someone who's full of moral outrage. And we can read in the bulletin about those who take on moral outrage for other people's victimization, which again is to make themselves feel superior. But we can wallow in self-pity. We can wear it on our sleeve. We can wear it as a badge of honor. We can nurse our grievance and demand restitution like the wicked servant in the parable. Himself guilty of much, but quickly offended by the least slight. By the least slight. The victim never sees their own guilt. The victim never sees their own guilt, or they would have to stop being a victim. Have to stop being a victim. And that's the choice. That's the challenge. If we will forgive, brothers and sisters, we have to give up our grievance. We will have to live by a higher calling than our grievance. We'll have to not be satisfied to be a victim. We will have to put aside our self-pity for the sake of gratitude. And we will have to exchange mercy for mercy. Mercy for mercy. The mercy that has been poured out upon us, we have to share it and spread it around. For to whom much mercy is given, much will be required and expected. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.